You know, many times we talk about the saving power and the salvation message of Jesus Christ, but do we consider all that that really encompasses? Do we understand what salvation really is all about? You know, the power of God working through the Holy Spirit is something that we must think about continually. And because of that, because he leads us into all truth and all understanding, we really need to appreciate his work in our life. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be discussing in progression of the Christian life and how we live through the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're starting with justification. So justification and what that means for the follower of Jesus Christ. Next week, we'll discuss sanctification and how God works in our lives. And then finally, we will discuss glorification and how his work really truly impacts our life. Just a few light topics as we get started here in May, but that's okay. We don't mind talking about hard topics here at Milton, and we're glad to do so. You know, in a few short weeks, we're going to start the book of James, and I'm looking forward to working through that message. I've finished up the entire rough draft of that entire series, and that'll take us all the way through July into the beginning of August. But today, we're going to zoom in, and we're going to focus on justification. So, at the beginning of this morning's message, what is the definition of justification? Let's take a look at the definition of justification. And justification is an act of showing something to be right. Right? From a worldly perspective, justification is showing something to be right. Now, if we look at it from a theological viewpoint, from a godly viewpoint, it goes much further than that. Because from that perspective, it is an action of declaring or making one righteous in the sight of God. It's not just saying that you're right, but God is declaring that you are right when he justifies you. That is something that we really need to understand and really grab a hold of. Justification is also a judicial term. We need to look at it from that viewpoint as well. Because when we consider that our sinful lives have sinned against God, we are not justified by our own works of righteousness. And the righteous judge must judge rightly. He cannot stand for sin. So justification in a judicial sense, we look at exactly how a holy God is going to find everyone who sinned against him guilty. How many of you were guilty? Hands down, all of us have sinned against the glory of God and are guilty by his standards. We have no defense. Guilty is charged, and our lives are in the hands of the only righteous judge who will judge sin. Who's trembling a little bit? We should, because we are without hope. And we stand in his presence deserving of death and separation from his presence for all eternity. That's where justification comes in. That's where the good news comes in, isn't it? Because we can be justified in God's sight through faith in Jesus Christ. And he is our only hope. That's it. You know, one of my focuses this year has been on growing our faith. You know, faith is something that ushers in justification. When we look at our faith, faith ushers in justification. Because faith is that justification. It allows God to declare a person innocent of all sin so that they can be declared righteous in his sight. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and we believe in our hearts, guess what? You are justified before God as though you have never sinned. Isn't that amazing? I stand completely and totally condemned before Holy God on my own merit. If I stand on my own merit, I am guilty as charged. Rightfully deserving separation from his presence. But because God has offered faith as a means of justification, I put my faith in him, and guess what? I go from guilty to innocent. That's an amazing thing that happens in our life, right? That is an amazing truth of the Scripture. And if we look in Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, this is what Paul writes. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Isn't that a great two passages of Scripture? Isn't that two great verses of Scripture? It's an amazing thing that happens. But there is a responsibility that we have to play when we look at this too. It's not something that we can just say, well, the Scripture says it right there. That if I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that I am a child of God. We have to understand what that means. So we start to go back a little bit here in Romans. And I know some people would have said, Scott, wouldn't it have been better to start with Romans 4 and then end with that? Well, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But faith is the precursor to justification, because without faith, God is justified in judging us rightly. So if we go to Romans 4 and we look at the work of the cross, and as we put our faith in Jesus Christ and are justified before God, we understand these things a little more. So Romans 4 verses 1 through 3. What shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We have to understand first and foremost what that word belief really means in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Because I've talked about this often. It's not just something that happens up here. Yes, it does happen in our minds. We can reason with that. But it also happens in our heart. If I do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who paid for the debt of sin of all mankind, and believe that God punished sin in him, who crushed his own son for the sin of the world, and then 3 days later raised him from the dead, not because he had to, but because he must. Because he's a righteous judge. Jesus never sinned. Therefore, death could not hold him. And he paid that debt in full. And if I believe that, not just with my heart, or not with my mind, but with my heart, then guess what? My life changes. I change. Because of him. Not on my own merit, but because of his power and strength. That he gives every single believer to go and to live the Christian life. It's not something that we just say, well, I believe, and shrug our shoulders and go on about our business. We change. We repent and are changed fully. God promises this. He promises home. So Paul continues to explain what justification looks like before God. We saw this in Abraham because Abraham believed God. God said he was going to make him into a great nation, that he was going to send him into a country that was not his own. Abraham believed him and followed him by faith. Paul continues to explain. We believe that justification is a belief. And Paul continues there in verse 16 through 25. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who have faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, and God, whom gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Abraham was over almost 100 years old before Isaac was born. And God said, I'm going to make you into a powerful nation. How is he going to do that with no children? But Abraham believed God because God said it. He had faith that God was going to do exactly what he promised. He believed that God was going to do it. And Abraham was credited with righteousness because of his faith. In the same way, we are credited with righteousness through our faith. Our faith has to be real and strong and steadfast, because faith is what brings about justification. And our justification happens the moment we believe. That quick. How many of you have ever really thought about that? Have you thought back to that moment that you believed? Does it mean something to you? It should, because that was your birthday. You were reborn that moment and justified before God. Sometimes it happens in a place like this. It happens in a church. I offer altar calls to come up and pray with me. Now, I had many people do it, and that's okay, because it's not required to happen in a church. Mine didn't happen in a church. Mine happened in a car on I-69. South towards Fort Wayne. I remember the day very well. But it has to happen. There has to be that moment where you're reborn and justification happens. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. Notice that he says there, you do not have the grace of God unless you are following Jesus by faith. That's something that so many people disregard. They think that the grace of God is just available to everyone. The scripture says it's not. It's for the child of God. That's God's grace. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who He has given us. Isn't that an amazing truth? Golly, that's an amazing truth. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Galatians 1, Paul talks to the Galatian church about moving away from a gospel of Jesus Christ into something that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, there are a lot of gospels that are out there today. A lot of gospels that are out there today. And let me tell you, they are not the gospel of Jesus Christ. When people want to talk about health, wealth, and prosperity in the gospel, it is a false gospel than what Jesus here is telling us. In the scripture, it tells us, what does Paul say here? You better be prepared to suffer and know that suffering is good. It produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Suffering is part of the Christian life. Do I wish that it weren't? Sure. But guess what? Suffering does something good in our life. It does. And the early church knew that. Jesus knew that and warned us of what was going to come if we're going to put our faith in Him. But that's the price of justification. But through that justification and through our faith, we have peace with God. I would much rather have suffering and have peace with God than to have everything that this world has to offer, for sure. You know, many people, they shipwreck their faith by believing that since they have been justified by God, that there's no need for their faith to grow. So I was, Stacy, she has to put up with me during the week. Hey, do you need any slides for Sunday? Sure, I need something that describes this. How in the world do you describe that? Well, this is what we come up with. It's not a get out of jail card free, right? How many like to play Monopoly? Old school Monopoly. Yeah, old school Monopoly, the get out of jail card free. It's an important card to have, right? Because when you get put to jail, you hand it over and you get out of jail card free. This is not how it is with the Christian life. Justification is not a get out of jail card free. In his book, The Gospel According to Jesus, John MacArthur, he says that there are two serious errors to avoid when discussing justification. The first happens when we confuse justification and sanctification and consider them the same. They are not. They are different. And next week, we're going to dive deeper into what sanctification really means. But we remember that justification is where God declares us righteous through our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that happens in a moment. We believe in our hearts that He raised Him from the dead, that Jesus has redeemed us through the work of the cross. This is the change of the sinner's character. Sanctification is the work of God through the change of the sinner's character into the changing likeness of Jesus Christ. And many believe that justification based on Christ's redemption is impossible because sinful man must somehow pay his own debt. How many of you have thought that thought before? I cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ because I need to fix myself. How many people in our world today believe that they need to fix themselves before they come to Jesus? How many people have I heard, I cannot walk through the doors of the church because I need to fix some things in my life before I come to church? A lie from hell is what that is. Because guess what? You and I cannot fix anything about ourselves. I can't fix myself. Been there, done that, tried it, failed miserably, time and time and time again. And if I go back to thinking that way, I will fail time and time and time again. Justification is not based upon anything I do. It is completely and solely based upon God and His grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. So many times people think that I can fix myself. I can do better. The fact of the matter is that justification is impossible only through, it's impossible for us, can only happen through the love of God. And what's bad enough is they view and they substitute believers' righteousness for their own, and they take the righteousness of Christ, His unblemished righteousness that is based upon justification, and they move it aside. And it's all about them. The other error is that they do not separate justification and sanctification so radically that they allow one without the other. You see, when we talk about justification and sanctification, they are two completely different things. They are two completely different works. Now, you can't have one without the other, but they are different. And when people try to marry the two and keep the two together, they completely miss the point. They completely miss the saving work of God through Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin. And God's redemptive work, it begins the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ. I am justified the moment I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and sanctification begins, and it goes on for the rest of my life. It will go on for a long time. But sometimes people take this problem, they marry the two together, and many in our day have stopped with justification. They stop with justification. Many churches will preach justification, period. End of discussion. That's all you need. The only thing you need to do is believe in Jesus Christ. If you ever hear those words come out of my mouth, you pull me out of this pulpit and show me the door. Because that's not it. That's the start of it. The start of our Christian life is with justification. But by golly, we've got to continue to grow and get better and allow Him to transform our lives. The redemptive work of Christ doesn't stop at justification. It's just the beginning. And oh, what a beginning it is. We have to have that beginning in order to see where God's going to take us. But so many churches, they believe that that's it. The only thing you got to do is believe. Say a little prayer. It's way more than that. And it should be more than that. The death of Christ on that cross, it deserves more than that. So what happens when we are justified by faith? That I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? An amazing thing happens. I walk into the realm of slavery. It's kind of like a curse word today, isn't it? But it's true. I go from one slavery to another. I go from slavery of sin, which it is slavery. Anyone who deals with sin, continual sin, they understand that they are slaves to it. How do you fix that problem? Faith in Christ Jesus. I go from slavery of sin to slavery of righteousness. I would much rather be a slave to righteousness than a slave to sin. Slavery to sin leads to death and hell. Slavery of righteousness leads to grace and freedom and everlasting life. And it's so important that we understand that. It's so important that we understand that. Paul makes it very clear that we're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. One is a slave to a master who is unmerciful and relenting. That slave or that master will lead you to death and destruction. The other is a loving father who loves his children and wants nothing but the very best for them. If we look at Romans 6, 15 through 18, what then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Paul is saying to you Christians out there, shall we continue to sin because we're under grace and have been justified? By no means. But you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are a slave of the one you obey. Whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of the teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. Man, I'm thankful to be a slave to righteousness, aren't you? A slave to righteousness. It's unfortunate that we have this misguided understanding of slavery in the United States. We live in the land of the free and home of the brave. We are not a slave to anyone, but yet we are a slave to sin. And if you don't think so, turn on the news for about 30 seconds and you'll find out how fast and how deep it goes. But Paul says there's a different way, a better way, to follow Jesus by faith, to trust Him with your life, to be justified in God's sight, to grow in that faith, to become children of the living God, to be slaves to righteousness, to do what is right, to live what is right, to let the world see that God has made a change in you. That is better by far. By far. I'm thankful to be justified by God through Christ Jesus. And I'm a slave to righteousness. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time that we've been able to be together. Lord, and I pray that out of the goodness of your grace and your love and your mercy, you would just strengthen and encourage us, Father, I pray. Lord, as we continue to think about what justification is all about, I pray that you would just pour out your Spirit upon us this week as we consider all of these things. Lord, and I pray that as we look at justification, you know, we look at what is next, what comes after justification, the sanctification, Father, of our life. And I pray that as we consider that this next Sunday, that you would just open up the Scriptures and reveal what you would have for us. Lord, it is so good. It is so good to be a child of God. And I pray that if there's someone that is here this morning, listening to all of this, that you've stirred in their heart, and they don't walk away without responding. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.